Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. Kirk, you're in Jersey tonight.
I'm in Jersey. No fans.
You crossed over. You're in Jersey.
I'm in Jersey.
Taking Air care Force. Of business out there.
Got some Air Forces on and some Nike, some sweats, a little pullover, windbreaker, pullover windbreaker.
Okay, you see this news or no? Malika Andrews, who's – Malika, I think was one of the first one, if not the first reporter to be a part of this Orlando bubble. She's doing a fantastic job for ESPN. Mm-hmm. So Clippers guard Patrick Beverley left Orlando on Tuesday night to address an emergency personal matter, and he intends to rejoin the team in the future, league sources tell ESPN. And just a reminder here, Montrezl Harrell, if you remember, last week had an excused absence for a family emergency. So two key pieces. And I know it's still early. I know the regular season doesn't start until a week from Thursday. I know the real season doesn't start until August 18th. So second round won't begin until September 1st. I mean, I got all the dates in my head, Kirk. But it is kind of interesting when a player leaves, what that does also to just their, you know, you're going to go from training camp to now you'll have to be tested again. You'll have to get two positive tests before you can
negative.
Can come back.
Yeah, two negative tests.
Or two, yeah. I'm sorry, sorry, yeah, two, yeah, yeah. Two negative tests. Why do they call it positive? It's not positive news. Right. Do you ever think about that? Like when they say the X-rays came back negative, and I'm like, why doesn't that sound like
– yes.
It sounds opposite. Let's just put it that way.
Hey, I know what you said. Or when you're in college and used to go get tested, they said no news is good news. All right.
I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, just give me good news. I don't need to hear no news.
And San Diego State's like, hey, no news is good news. You're like, okay.
Kirk, David, has this ever happened before where – you know, you go to the doctor's office, you'll just go get like a regular checkup or something like that. And that's what they say. They'll say that, look, if, you know, if we don't call you, all good, nothing to worry
about,
blood pressure, this, you know, all that stuff. And then you get a call, you miss it, and it's just a voicemail. You're like, hey, we're calling from the office. Please give us a call back when you get a chance. And I'm like, this happened to me. And I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, it's 6 o'clock. They're gone. I have no idea what they're talking about. Whatever test that I did and all this stuff. And I call back the next day and it's like, yeah, we just wanted to update your billing information. I'm like, that's why you called me? That's why you told me all this? I'm thinking something happened. I'm thinking the test results, something positive came back, but positive in the opposite way. These people.
Yeah. No,
Kirk.
I understand what you're saying. Yes, they have to have two negative tests. But, you just want positive news, right? Positive news is two negatives.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that all backwards? But just to say, and there's nothing really more to say because, you know, I know how key Patrick Beverley is to the Clippers, Montrezl Harrell, how key he is to the Clippers. You and I have talked about it, right? One of the things that you kind of harp on, a reason why you give the Clippers an edge in this bubble, one of the reasons, you know, we talked about home court advantage, we talked about the environment with no fans, how that benefits the Clippers. But those two guys come up a lot from an energy perspective in your eyes for the Clippers. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, you just assume that, okay, he's got personal business to take care of, but that's not, you know, that is definitely worthy news because this is a player that obviously is going to be impactful for the Clippers.
Yeah, it's worthy news, but has there been any games played yet?
None.
No. Has there been any playoff implications yet for them?
Not even close.
Yeah. So, yes, it is concerning because they have left the bubble, which we always felt is going to be is the safest place right now within the bubble. But
it's a process to get back in and everything else. And all of a sudden now you stop practicing. And
But I've said it before. Like I'm not worried about players in terms of the beginning, right? I'm worried about as the weeks go along. It gets tough, right? You have other things you have to take care of. This is normally a time in which this is dedicated to family. And so it is an inconvenience for a lot of NBA players, and people aren't talking about that. I mean, you schedule, you know, family trips around this time, or just spending time with your family, spending time with other things that you had going on. And then you have other emergencies that usually you could just take care of. He can go to a practice in El Segundo and be done, you know, over there off, off of Washington, where the Clippers practice at. You know, have a little practice, be done, handle a couple of family things, and then be back at home. Now, when you're in Orlando, a little bit different, right? Hey, the emergency, hey, dad needs to come, or, you know, brother, you know, husband, all of that. You got to. Man, you got to figure it out. Now you got to fly clear across the country if that may be the case or whatever it may be. So, look, I understand how difficult it is, but I think that the leniency that maybe Doc Rivers can give his players in a time in which nothing right now that we're, that they're doing is going to affect what happens, I think, when it's crunch time. We're just talking about seeding. And if there's any team I think that cares about, I mean, that worries, worried about seeding, it is not the Clippers. They are not worried about seeding. We're already in the tournament. I mean, they can have Mr. Load Management himself, Kawhi Leonard. They could care less. Just get us in the tournament. We don't care who's playing. Just let us just roll the ball out there, and we're going to go up against anybody. Now, when that happens and guys are missing, then that's something that I'm definitely going to, you know, start to be more concerned with. But right now, this doesn't concern me much.
All right, so there's some other news from the Clippers, by the way. You see this? The environmental report for the Clippers arena approved by Inglewood City Council. So the Clippers, who are planning to build that billion-dollar arena in Inglewood, it looks like it's on track. And not to think that you know, this wasn't going to be the case, but you got, you know, obviously when you're going to build an arena or a stadium in the state of California or anywhere, there are hurdles that you have to go over. This is another hurdle that the Clippers and Steve Ballmer have gone through. So what does this mean, Kirk? This means that it's a privately financed project. They hope to begin construction in mid-2021 and then open the complex 18,000 arena for the 2024-2025 NBA season. That's by the way, I think that coincides with when their lease ends at Staples Center. So it literally will line up just in that it will line up right in that time frame. Big moves from Ballmer, Kirk. I mean, one thing I will say, and you know this, I'm as big of a Laker fan as they come. Ballmer has come in here, and you know, when you're as powerful as he is and you're worth as much money as he is and you're as ambitious as he is, you know, it's not like this is an owner that just owns a team and is going to sit back and not pay attention and winning's not important. It's very important. And the fact that they're about to build their own stadium in Inglewood right next to SoFi, mm-hmm. the vision of what's happening in Inglewood is pretty damn crazy. And I'm sure you already bought up 40% of Inglewood 8 years ago. So, I mean, Kirk, you're just making it happen, man. No, hey, but this is big news. This is big news for the Clippers.
To quote the great philosopher and former NFL running back Marshawn Lynch, Steve Ballmer is about that action, boss. He is about that action. I mean, he really is, because he's come in and, first of all, he's changed the image of the Clippers, right? First of all, it's all about ownership. I don't even mention Donald Sterling's name anymore. I forget that he even owned the team sometimes.
They're still the Clippers, but the thing is they're still the Clippers.
They're still the Clippers, but they're doing things that are un-Clipper-like, that are making that are making people like, whoa, like they're giving people another option. Yes, it's been Lakers a long time, but the one thing that we can say about Los Angeles, there's a lot of it's very transient, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people who come to L.A., and some of them aren't Lakers fans. They just moved to L.A. because of their job or new opportunity.
And all of a sudden, they're not
the diehard Laker fans, but there's another option for these Laker fans now.
But, Kirk, I think aside from that, like let's say from a fan base perspective, one of the things that he's doing is he doesn't care. Like he knows – this city is run by the Los Angeles Lakers. That's never going to change. Like, he has no reason to try and compete against that. But the moves he's making, it's not, well, we're going to have a different starting lineup intro. You know, like, he bought the Forum so he can build this stadium.
Yes.
It doesn't get any more baller than that. It doesn't. Like, to buy the Great Western, or, you know, obviously not the Great Western Forum anymore, but to buy the Forum in order to then just take out Dolan out of the way – now removes a lot of these hurdles to then build the stadium that you really want to build. I mean, that's It's kind of mind-boggling.
He's just about that action, boss. That's what I'm saying. He's bringing in with action. Everybody else has words, right? Use words. He's about action right now.
Mm-hmm.
Action. And you talk about the action that he's doing. You mentioned buying up the Forum and then now having this arena. And look, everybody wants to go to the shiny new arena. Look, Staples Center is still beautiful. Man, she's beautiful, right? You walk by her, you're like, man, she still looks great, gorgeous. Well, she's been open for what, almost 20 years now? Almost
20 years. 20 years. They opened in 2000.
Still looks beautiful. You walk in and you still get that same type of feeling. You look around and it doesn't feel like it's 20 years old at all, by no means, when you walk in. But what about L.A.? L.A. is all about new. You build something new, people are going to just check it out. And all of a sudden, you start getting people there. You get the influencers there. And everybody wants to be in with the hip crowd, the new crowd. And look, I think that's something that we may see more people start to go over to the game. Maybe not necessarily a Clippers fan, but just something new, just something different, something that we haven't really seen before. And that's what Ballmer's going to do. That's what he's all about.
Okay, so did you see this? ESPN had this. They're taking this all predictions right now, right? So you got a lot of different people, a lot of these ESPN reporters predicting, but it was around LeBron James and the conversation, this debate, what this Orlando restart means for LeBron James. And there's no need to sugarcoat any of this. There are some big questions about LeBron James in the sense of how long can this guy keep doing this, right? Like, right. How long can LeBron James perform the way he's performed on a consistent basis for the last 17 years? At some point, you have to imagine, all right, Father Time's going to catch up. This season, if you thought he would take a step back, that wasn't the case. You know, I think that's what's so fascinating about LeBron James. Kirk, I had mentioned this during the beginning of the season. I thought it would be more on Anthony Davis's back this year, not because LeBron can't do it, but more strategically, right? Like LeBron says, okay, let me come in the postseason. What I didn't think is we're going to be having the same conversation about LeBron James potentially getting MVP and it's coming down between him and Giannis and blah, 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 doing it in the Western Conference, all that. The question that was proposed earlier today was, is this year – LeBron's best shot at another title? And I'll kind of give you my thoughts real quick on this. I'll just say that as great of a shot as the Lakers have this season, and we know, you know, they have as good of a shot as anybody, the Bucks, Lakers, Clippers, put all three of them up there, I still don't think all of a sudden next season there's just going to be this crazy drop-off. I do think the Lakers are positioned economically from the salaries that they have, Anthony Davis coming back, LeBron James. And then how they fill up the rest of the roster, a lot of veterans will be chasing championships, things along those lines. I think they still got a shot next year. Do you think this is their best year, or you think these next 2 years are really this season and next season are equal?
Yeah, I think they've got a chance this year, next year, right? I think they're pretty equal.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. I think people are saying too much. No, it's just this season. I don't believe that.
No, I got to look at – they're going to still be able to – look, they're going to change around that roster. It won't be the same players again, right? You're going to be able to bolster the roster, and we already have the pieces in play, right? You still got AD. You got LeBron. That's really all you need.
Danny Green's under contract too.
Yeah, you got some guys who are going to be there. The nucleus will be there, and you got to put it around some other parts. I've seen it before with – obviously, the Golden State Warriors, a team that I follow a lot because it's from my hometown, but I saw them do it. Yes, you're still always going to have your Klay Thompsons. You're going to have your Steph Currys, your Draymond Greens, and Andre Iguodala. Now, who's going to be the other players that come along? And each year, it was different players. Remember, one year, it was Swaggy P, who was a part of it, who won a championship, and like the David Wests of the world. And
that's right.
Sean
remember David,
Livingston.
Remember David West that one year turned down $12 million from the Spurs to just have a chance at, I don't know if it was with the Spurs, but just turn that money down just because he wanted a shot.
Right.
At a chip.
Yeah, you're right. It was with the Spurs, and he ended up getting, I think, two chips, I believe he ended up getting. So, look, there are guys who are going to be out there that want to play for the Lakers, right? And the money may be right. You get a guy who's sort of at the end of his career or still a guy who's trying to blossom and find himself, the Lakers can be creative and find some ways to get him on the roster. So I don't see it as just they're all in for this season right now. No, I think that this is a team that still can compete for a championship next year. LeBron is kind of filling it out. And if LeBron takes more of this role as a point guard next year, I mean, how much bigger of an offense can this team be if they can go out and get somebody who can actually be a true three man, right? And have a true two and LeBron be the actual point guard. You're talking about filling up the roster. I think the Lakers fell into something that they had no idea was going to be like this, and it's been effective. And that's why they're the top team in the Western Conference right now.
So, Kirk, you know, I will say this, and we'll set this all up. Mark Spears coming up next, but that's why I'm so fascinated with finishing out this season, because if the Lakers can win a championship this year, I'm not saying that it takes off all this pressure for next season, but damn, you got to feel, you know, incredibly good about doing it again, being the favorites. And I think Clippers are looking at it the exact same way. Clippers are like, if we can just get one this year, right? Like one of these two teams between the Lakers and the Clippers, and I'm sorry to discount the Bucks, and it's not that I don't think the Bucks can win an NBA, that they can't win an NBA championship, but I feel like whoever comes out of the West is going to win a championship, and I think Correct. It's going to be the Lakers or the Clippers. But if LeBron can just get one this year, doesn't that make them that more dangerous for next season? And this is a conversation we could have with Mark Spears. So let me kind of transition there. Mark Spears, who's inside of the bubble, he's a senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. One of my favorite guys to talk to when it comes to the NBA. He's coming up next. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. This is 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want to welcome in Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Mark, thank you for doing this, bud. I appreciate you taking the time to join the show. You got myself and Kirk Morrison. How are you doing?
Yeah, you didn't tell me Kirk was coming on the show, bro.
Yeah, I should have warned you before. I should have told you before.
That's my guy, man. How you going to not tell me my people were on the show with you?
See, he wants to bury the lead, Mark. He wants to bury the lead. I want to ask you, though, Mark, but this is how I'm going to start this thing off. So you got the iPro with the 11 Pro Max. What kind of camera phone are you using, brother? Because your social media content is out of this world right now. I'm saying, Mark Spears, keep giving it all to me, brother.
Man, you got one of them things on your phone when you do stuff for ESPN. Kirk is nerding out right now.
Nah, I'm not nerding out. What I'm doing is that I appreciate the content that you're putting out right now, seriously, because a lot of people...
Okay, I thought you were talking to me about the TVU app on my cell phone. I go live, but nah, man, thank you. Nah, this is all seriousness. This is a really interesting time because, you know, the social justice stuff, as important it is for the players to speak about it, I think it's important for me to talk about it, especially, you know, in my position with the Undefeated. So I'm sure there's probably people who is going on deaf ears, or that's why you keep talking about that. Why? There's a lot of reasons why. Mm. You know, George Floyd is why, Breonna Taylor is why, Ahmaud Arbery is why, Rodney King is why. And so I'm going to keep writing these stories, telling the pain that these guys are going through, telling their, you know, things that they're passionate about. And, you know, everybody's not going to like it, but I guess that's why the Undefeated hired me to, you know, write about, you know, race and culture and keep the conversation going. Because the only way, Kirk, you know this, saying what you said, man, the only way we make this world better is if we, you know, or one of the ways to make this world better is to talk about the uncomfortable. But
Mark,
seriously.
Mark Spears, a senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, takes some time to join the Sliva Show. It's myself and Kirk Morrison. Mark, I want to stay on that for a quick second because, and as you mentioned, you know, I see on your Twitter account all the time, whether it's CJ McCollum speaking with Breonna Taylor's mother, whether it's Marcus Smart starting his interview. Yesterday was Tobias Harris, justice for Breonna Taylor. How do you feel just getting a chance to be inside of the bubble now? A lot of the conversation from some players was, will this take away from the awareness? Will this be a distraction? How do you feel the NBA is doing so far? How do you feel like the players are doing from that perspective of continuing to raise awareness?
I mean, I think it would have been the mistake not to come. This is, you know, and Kirk could speak on this as a, you know, former pro athlete. I believe people listen to you more when you're on the field.
Mm-hmm.
People love the NBA. So I think what we're seeing now is just a lower level what's going to be an amplified voice once they get to the court. Because once they get to the court, you'll see Kyle Korver wearing Black Lives Matter on his jersey. You're going to see Mike Conley have, you know, I am a man. You're going to see different players have different messages. I talked to Marcus Morris today, the Clippers, and he's like, I'm wearing my message all season long. I want people to see my message all season long. And, you know, every player, you know, obviously there's two elite players, icons for the Lakers who are not doing it. And it's everybody's, you know, prerogative, but I still expect LeBron James and Anthony Davis to have some mammoth message in their own way that they're going to have. You know, LeBron got something.
Mm-hmm.
It's his own thing, but you know he got something. You know, Anthony Davis said, like, that they're like the one thing the players I'm starting to figure out that they're doing. One, a lot of guys are mentioning Breonna Taylor in a lot of interviews, you know. Two, and Kirk, text me when this happens. Watch these shoes that these guys end up wearing. You can't silence them in the shoe. You can't tell them what they can and cannot put on their jersey in the shoe. So I think there's going to be a lot of creative stuff put on the shoes because the NBA does give them – it's not their uniform. I mean, it's part of their uniform, but it's not sanctioned by the league. I still think it's great that the league had close to 30 messages, but on the shoes they could have a picture of Breonna Taylor on the shoes. They could have Ahmaud Arbery on the shoes. They could have Rodney King on the shoes. They could have whoever they want on their shoes. They might wear a headband. They might get a dunk and yell, Breonna Taylor! Because one player told me tonight, there ain't no crowd there.
Right.
You're going to hear
everything.
So I think they're kind of like, I'm kind of getting little tips without them giving it to me that they're going to be messages on the shoes. Maybe they dunk and yell something. Every time we dunk, I want you guys to say it's somebody's name. Every time I hit a three, yell somebody's name. Like, when these games start, what we're seeing now, to me, it's just, this is the warm-up. I really believe that when the game starts, boy, it's really going to get amplified. And the goal for a lot of these players is to keep it amplified until they raise up the Larry O'Brien trophy.
You know, Mark, you survived the media quarantine, right? Having to get there and like I've been watching you and Tanya both, man, just watching what you guys had to go through just to get into the bubble. But now, since you're now within the bubble, how are the players handling it though now? Like, having been there, being away from their families, obviously, look, their summers have been taken away from them, their family time being taken away from them. How are they now adjusting to this practice, this setting, and how much are they really into this now, holding up that Larry O'Brien, like you mentioned?
It seemed like with every day, their situation's getting better. Like, Darvin Ham, I talked to him tonight, Bucks assistant coach, he's like, yo, our chef is about to get through quarantine. And he said, we get much better meals now, but when our chef gets through quarantine, oh, man, like, they eating good. Bruh, don't listen to these dudes no more. their food was bad during quarantine. Now I go to practice, and there's like a chef station outside their team rooms. So they have a chef sitting there with high plexiglass. The only guy, Taco Fall, wasn't high enough for him. But everybody, the glass was high enough. And they're like slicing the turkey and the prime rib and everything and giving it to them on plates to eat. Y'all ain't eating off of plates now, are you? We're in L.A. If somebody give you a plate to eat.
They'll be okay.
It's a Michelin star restaurant in Los Angeles. Y'all ain't eating off no plates. Right?
Nope.
These dudes is eating. They're eating much better now. Now, if you saw what they feed the media every day.
How's that food? The silence speaks
for itself.
I would
liken it to eating at Denny's. Yeah. But not having a choice as to what you want to eat. Mm.
So they definitely, they're carving the meat for the players.
Room, there's like these two like big, there's like these refrigerators, warm, hot. You open it up and there's like pre-made food and you grab it and eat it. And it's like, oh, today they got this. It's like, you know, when you're in like elementary school, you got the menu, like, oh, what's on the menu today? Okay. We got, mashed potatoes and
we got that pizza. That pizza with four sausage pieces on it.
I haven't had pizza. Nah, but I mean, like it's a lot different for them. I mean, our food is okay, but shoot, I'm getting older. I need to eat healthier, so I'd like to get. It'd be nice if they had an egg white guy make an egg white omelet. That'd be beautiful. Oh,
Mark Spears.
But I will say this. That's the only negative is the food. My accommodations are fine. My room is fine. I got like a 62-inch television in the room. The environment in terms of we get tested every day, man. You know how big that is? Like, I got friends who get tested who don't get the results for 18 days. I have friends that are doctors in Los Angeles who can't get their own, their hospital can't give them testing, but I'm getting tested every day. I'm also getting my temperature taken every day. I'm getting my oxygen taken every day. I'm getting a band that's going to tell me about the dynamics of my body and what's working good. And if possible, I might be getting symptoms of COVID in advance. We cannot go into an arena for practice until we get our temperature taken and registered, till we get our oxygen taken and registered, till we answer a question, have you been around somebody who's had COVID in the last 22 hours? Are you feeling sick? Are you feeling any of these symptoms? And there's like 10 different symptoms. If we don't answer those questions in the morning, we can't go to practice. We can't go to scrimmage. We can't go to game. You have to wear a mask. It's not even up for discussion. The environment in which they are putting the players in is outstanding. It is the safest place in America. That's why these guys aren't. When they do the interviews, I got yelled at for not standing 6 feet apart. They're not playing, man. Even when they do the Zoom interviews and making them wear masks, like it's a really, really serious deal. And I respect the NBA for how serious they're taking it. In fact, they're trying to limit them from like exposure to us so much that if somebody from the Lakers or the Clippers wanted to see me, I'll say this. One of my friends, he works for the Lakers. I'll leave nameless. Just like, yo, why don't you come over to this pool? We just hang out and talk. I said, I can't. Like, what do you mean you can't? I contractually can't go on you guys' property or I'll get kicked out. Like, come on, man. You could just go with me. I'm like, no, you don't get it. I signed a contract. I can't. Like, they're not playing, man.
It's almost
everything in their power. Like, if an NFL player is listening to this right now, if an MLB player is listening to this right now, the NBA is taking care of their people, man. I truly believe that.
You love
now,
to.
Food might not be the greatest thing in the world, but I'm hey, I'm in the safest place in the world.
Mark, you love and to hear it. You love to hear it.
Happens that, to me. There's a hospital on the premises that I can walk into and get help. I'm good.
Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, joining the Sleeper Show. Alan Sleeper and Kirk Morrison. Mark, that's amazing to hear. I mean, just you describing it that way in that much detail, I take it then you're not surprised that 346 tests on NBA players, zero came back positive. Now, listen, I understand that anything can change at any moment, but that's a great way for you to describe
Al,
it.
Now, if it changes, there's a hospital on campus to get help. Immediately.
Man, compare this to the other
sports.
There's
a respirator there. I bet you there's somebody that they probably got a bunch of doctors sitting there bored right now. They playing dominoes with sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what else I got?
What else you got?
I got Clorox wipes. In the big jar and the hand wipes. I can't find that in the store.
No, you can't find it at Costco, I'll tell you that right now in L.A.
No, I'm not talking about these generic brands that are coming out. Bro, I got the Mercedes.
You got the good stuff.
I got the Ferrari of cleaning. I got Clorox, bro. Clorox.
You're out the chain, man. Oh, man.
Who out there got Clorox? I'm going to put this on eBay right now. I'm going to make me some money. I'm going to sell this Clorox for like $200.
Hey, you know, Mark, you said you've been around some of the players and you've been into these practices and everything. But more so, you know, people here in L.A., you know, looking at the Lakers and how they're taking practice now, how they're going about hoisting this, you know, this Larry O'Brien trophy. Now, we know there won't be Rajon Rondo for a little bit of time. Obviously, he's got an injury, and then, you know, we know what's going on with other players, to be specific. But, like, what's been their mood, or how have you the temperature in the room when you attend a Lakers practice?
Went to my first one today, and, you know, they're really relaxed. They don't let us see a whole lot, but they like some other teams, they're still trying to get it all together. You know, Markieff Morris flew in tonight. I think he's the last piece. But Rondo being hurt is a big loss. Avery Bradley not being there is a big loss. But at least now they have their team intact, so, you know, they could practice the way they need to practice and get ready the way they need to get ready, because they're like the Clippers got Marcus Morris back, but they're still missing two other players. The Kings are just all messed up, man. Mm. You know, De'Aaron Fox is hurt. Marvin Bagley is out. Harrison Barnes, hopefully he'll pass the test today and fly in tonight. Rashawn Holmes just got cleared. And the Houston Rockets, you know, just got rushed, but he may not practice or scrimmage on Friday, you know? Like, he's still got to, you know, pass some tests and be quarantined too. So it's at least for the Lakers, they can like kind of move forward. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas there's some other teams who are still trying to get their squad together.
Mark, you had made mention of you had an article just came out recently on ESPN's Undefeated, and it highlighted great piece on Ja Morant. We know for Laker fans out here, there's a lot of conversation about the Blazers, a lot of conversation about New Orleans, and probably less of a conversation about Memphis, only because, you know, I guess you could just say from a star-studded cast, even though we all know Ja Morant is a star. From that piece that you know, you had this behind-the-scenes look at Ja Morant, what are some things that stand out to you about him, and how do you like their chances of holding on to that eighth spot and facing the Lakers in the first round?
Well, I mean, it's up to them, really. I mean, they have a three-game lead. And Ja Morant, he did a camp, which is what I wrote about. His dad put a two-week camp together at their home in the Memphis suburbs, where he brought two trainers in from IMG, worked them out, brought in, like, nine dudes to hoop with. They put a strength and conditioning gym in their garage, so they worked out there. And he came to Orlando 12 pounds stronger. and in good shape. So he's ready to go. And if there's going to be a nemesis for the Lakers in the first round, it's going to be, you know, a guard. Because there's, you know, I just think that's going to be a big problem thing to worry about. So I could see Ja Morant, if it's Memphis, having a great series, but I just don't think they have have something to make it a problem. You know what I mean? Like, the only team I see that could make it an issue for the Lakers is Portland. They got an amazing backcourt that could score. Dame had 48 on them last time. Melo's in great shape. He's playing small forward. Nurkic is back. They're, like, healthy for the most part. They don't have Ariza, but they got a big, big team, so they could counter the Lakers' side. And, you know, Melo, LeBron will be interesting, and obviously AD will. I still like the Lakers in that series, but I could see Portland making them work and Dame and CJ being a big problem. So that's the team. If there's a team that Lakers fans should be rooting against, it's Portland.
Last one for you from me, Mark. Obviously, the big news over the last couple of days are, you know, people like yourself get a chance to vote for the MVP of the league. I won't ask you what your vote is right now. Maybe you give it to me. Maybe you won't. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Giannis, LeBron, those two guys right now. What's the hard part that you have to figure out in terms of which one gets the vote for MVP of this pandemic 2019-2020 season?
I think the hardest part is, like, when you're in two different conferences.
Yes.
It's hard to pick because somebody could say, well, the Eastern Conference isn't as good. Well, I mean, LeBron won a lot of MVPs in the Eastern Conference before, too, when it wasn't as good. So what's most important to you? They both have great stats. They both have great records. I mean, who stakes better, Morton or Ruth Chris?
Right, yeah, they both hit.
I don't know if there's any wrong answer.
Right.
I guess at this point it's kind of going to be a popularity contest. I actually don't vote for a variety of reasons. As you can see, I'm an eccentric dude as it is from what all the stuff I said, but I just don't like the fact that players' bonuses are connected to it.
Correct.
I know that they show our names, start showing our names and who we voted for 5 years ago. So my name is known as in helping somebody or hurting somebody get a bonus. Also, I know that there's players that hold it against people for not voting for them.
Correct.
So I know that for a fact. And once I started seeing that, it took all the fun out of voting. So I don't vote anymore. And if they want to take my name off, I'll vote, but as long as our names are on it, I just can't be known as some, well, Anthony Davis is mad because he didn't get that last bonus because not enough writers voted for him. Right? Don't put me on that list.
I hear you. I hear you. That's real. I respect that.
Because
I know if I was playing, I'd be the same way. I still got a couple of writers on my hit list when I play.
and I understand that when there's money involved, yeah. I understand you being mad, but
absolutely,
I don't want you looking at me, well, Spears didn't vote for me, and I lost out on $2 million. No. Nah, man, I didn't get – I'm going to get to the polls in November, but I ain't going to that poll.
Yep, I got you.
Well, Mark, we appreciate it, man.
My name's not on my vote. I know who I'll vote for, though. For sure.
Yep. Crazy, man.
Mark, we appreciate the time, man. We appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this. Next time, I will let you know that Kirk's doing it, too. You know, I didn't know there was such a close tie between the two of you guys. So that's great to get a chance to hear about life in the bubble there, too.
One of these days when the world gets better and Kirk gets back to Oakland, man, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, we're spreading the good news, right? Like my boy Mario, man, we're going to spread the good news like always.
bring Al with you, man. Let him know about the town business.
I will. That's my next job. I'm educating him about town business. That's what I do.
All right, now.
All right, appreciate it, Mark.
Y'all be safe out there because I'm safe in here.
I'm living through you, brother.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Mark. All right. That's Mark Spears right there, a senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Man, how about his description, Kirk, of how safe it is in there? I mean, you want to talk about taking a page from the NBA's book if you're a sports franchise out there, if you're a corporation out there. And I know, you know, not everyone can get tested every single day, but
right.
That's probably what it's going to take right now until a vaccine comes out.
I mean, I was half joking, but I was serious on aspects of it. I've been following Mark, and I've known him for a very long time. And, you know, I've been following him exclusively on social media of lately since he's been, you know, down in Orlando, and just watching as he's maneuvered the bubble, right? And you're just kind of sitting back and you're watching and you're realizing what he's had to go through just to get into the bubble. You know, the players have been there for about 2 weeks, and finally the media were able to get in for their 7-day quarantine and finally got a chance to watch Lakers practice and a lot of, you know, the other team's practices. Now they're able to get more content and interviews from some of the players. And so the access is now there. But like you said, there's probably no safer place in America right now than this bubble that they've created. And I think to what he mentioned, and this was what I go back to, Alan. Remember, I just said it earlier in the program, too.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't surprised in the beginning when the players got there because it's new. It's different, right? Oh, the bubble. Okay. But once they got to week two and week three, how would they handle it? Will guys still be understanding of what they're there for? Will they try to bend the rules a little bit? Or what's going to be the adjustment? And now we've seen what the adjustment looks like, right? Now it's barbershops being built in the bubble. It is now chefs who are going through the quarantine process who will probably be paid to be there on behalf of some of the players now. So I think that some of the arrangements had some flexibility, especially, you know, from the NBA players and the owners and the commissioner, that, you know, guys still need a little bit extra. We can say, hey, this is what the bubble is going to have. And guys are going to say, well, we need a little bit more, because I'm just telling you, I know how guys eat. I know what they're accustomed to. And if you present something to them and say, hey, here you go, that's just not going to cut it for a lot of these players who are used to eating a certain way. And if you want them to go out there and play a certain way, you got to make sure that they're comfortable. And so now I really believe that the NBA, you know, listening to Mark there and just watching the way social media and people who are at the bubble, the way the arenas look, the way the practices look, I think that they're getting more comfortable within that bubble. And once the games really start, I think it'll be even easier for players to maintain their focus on why they're there.
All right, Kirk, let's do this when we come back. So we didn't get a chance. Anthony Davis got an opportunity to listen to him this morning on that Zoom press conference. He talked, by the way, a little bit about LeBron. He talked about the case for a defensive player of the year, kind of compared regular season AD to playoff AD. Danny Green got a chance to talk. I want to play some of those clips when we come back. We'll kind of stay on this NBA front. And a couple other things I want to hit on from what we heard from Mark Spears. We'll do that coming up next. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison, 710 ESPN. All right, thank you to Mark Spears. Kirk, how great was that conversation with Mark? I mean, just so honest about what's going on in the bubble. By the way, I never had any fear that the NBA players who were posting videos up that their food wasn't that good. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We joked around about it. I'm like, Kirk, they're going to be having lobster in the morning if they want lobster in the morning. That's all going to happen. And you got Mark breaking it down that they got – right outside of practice, there's a chef. Yeah. What are you looking to eat? Basically, the dugout club that we were talking about, we'd eat at a Dodgers game where it's just the best food you could possibly think of. You know they're going to get that every single day.
Yeah. I think, remember, we've seen less pictures and, you know, talk of the food, right? I think things have gotten a lot better. I even saw the other day, Whiteside for the
Hassan Whiteside for Portland?
For Miami.
The Trailblazers.
He got some, he had some Del Frisco's, right? You know, he had a little something that was delivered to him. So guys are finding a way to get around it. They're staying in the bubble, but I guess now they're able to get things delivered to them. So they're using all their apps, getting things delivered. So yeah, I guess that aspect of it has gotten a lot better.
So one of the things that's been, one of the things I enjoy, and this has been the case pretty much every morning. So I'll give you an example, all right? So Lakers will send out an email, and it will say, you know, obviously for those that are in the media, okay, hey, we're going to have availability. We'll have a couple players talk. We'll have coach talk as well. So we have a good routine going of getting an opportunity to listen to these players. And Kirk, you know, I've mentioned this a couple times where we went so long from not hearing from the players. We went so long not hearing from the organization, the coach, right? And it's not just Lakers. Everybody, every team, every sport, nobody knew what was going to happen. And now we're getting a chance on a day-to-day basis. So earlier today, Anthony Davis was on the Zoom press conference call. I have said this, and I know you've said it as well. You know, we talk so much about LeBron and MVP and this and that. One of the conversations I think is being lost is defensive player of the year for Anthony Davis. So let me play. He was asked a question about what he thinks of making his case. Love the response from AD. This is AD talking about defensive player of the year this morning.
Oh, I don't have a case. I let my teammates decide and the fans decide. But I just go out there and play hard every night. You know, my biggest impact that I think I have is defensively. I love playing defense. I love stopping other players, making it tough on other players. So it's just like my case in a nutshell. But I'm pretty sure Coach has some good things. And, you know, I'm pretty sure you guys are asking Brian Hill. Have a whole list for you guys, but I just go out there and try to be great and lead my team on a defensive end and help them guys get better each and every night.
I want to play one more thing from Anthony Davis on if there's a change between the regular season to the playoffs for AD.
You know, I think everybody level raises in the postseason, and for me, I just try to take it up a notch. But I don't think there's a big discrepancy between end season AD and postseason AD.
Kirk, this I think this is a critical, and Laker fans are probably sick of me saying this, but it's a critical postseason for AD. I really do believe that. And I know the circumstances are not what we thought. I know there won't be home cooking and games be played at, you know, Staples Center, and then you go out on the road and it's a tough game five in Denver or something along those lines. But Anthony Davis is so key for the Lakers, and the fact that Anthony Davis, you know, still got so much to prove in his career. He's only 26. Not like he has one or two championships under his belt, but he's still considered top five in the NBA. This is a very critical, big moment for Anthony Davis. Not to say that he's not going to get plenty more opportunities, but damn, this is a good one with LeBron and this Lakers team.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for him. And we do want to see what this playoff Anthony Davis looks like even more. We got glimpses of it, right, when he was in New Orleans. But now it's different stakes. When he was with New Orleans, they were trying to make upsets, right? They were just trying to kind of find their way. Now with the Lakers, it's not about finding your way. It's about finding a championship. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to put it to the test. I guess the criticism or maybe lack of criticism, it's all going to be there now for him, everything. We're going to look and critique his game.
We're going to praise him,
yeah.
And we're going to criticize him.
We're going,
right?
to do it all.
That comes with the territory.
It comes with being a Laker as well. Mm-hmm. It comes with being a Laker and especially playing deep into the playoffs, which we all expect the Lakers to do. So we're going to see how does he handle this pressure or maybe not pressure. What is it going to look like? Will he have to rely on LeBron or will LeBron rely on him? I'm looking forward to seeing that because he's – already talking about it. We know about LeBron's Zero Dark 30, right, where he goes into this, morphs into this superhuman person out there on the basketball court. Will we see the same with Anthony Davis? Because now he's starting to go in uncharted waters. He's going up that, he's climbing that hill, and he's looking up, and he's trying to say, you know what, I can do this. I got the right guys around me, and at some point, I think the Lakers may have to, you know, fall on his back. You know, he may have to carry this team at points throughout the playoffs. I really believe that.
That's what I want to see, Kirk, too, because I think that's – by the way, it's not like he's unaccustomed to or has no experience of carrying a team. He did it for 7 years in New Orleans, right? Like,
correct.
He was carrying a franchise for 7 years. And there's only so much you can do. And when you're in the Western Conference – and if you're the best player on your team, you need stars to win in the league. There's no question about it. And Anthony Davis, everything that he's accomplished so far in his career has been fantastic. But at the end of the day, once, like you mentioned, once you're wearing the purple and gold, and it's not just wearing the purple and gold, but the expectations, you have a good enough team to win a championship. The Lakers traded, you know, their entire future and a lot of young, promising players, which, by the way, I think they would do it 10 times out of 10 if they had the opportunity to do it again. But they traded them because they think this is not just the present, but also the future. But as we sit in the present, of course there's going to be pressure on AD. Of course there's going to be pressure. When you say there's going to be times he needs to take over games, you know what it reminds me of? And you know, maybe this is I don't know if this is the best comp or the best example, but when Kobe and Powell were winning together, right? There were games where it didn't have to happen often because Kobe was just in the absolute prime of his career and was so amazing, but there were games where Powell had to take over. Powell had to deliver in the fourth quarter. It couldn't just be on Kobe's back. And I make that comparison in the sense that we know what LeBron's going to do every single night. Anthony Davis, when you're in the second round, you're in the Western Conference Finals or something along those lines, you do want to walk away from games saying AD was the best player on the court and there was nothing anybody can do to stop him.
Nothing. Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of both of that, right? Where you're going to see some intense moments and then you're going to see some moments that have to be reeled back. And then you just kind of want to see a last second late game kind of moment, right? I was doing this the other day, right? And hopefully we have time here, but it was five guys right now.
The in burger the bubble. Joint?
Okay. Yeah, well, I feel you.
It's been, but, you know, it's 8:40 now. You know where my mind's going. Go
I
ahead.
Know where your mind is, but I had to put a list together, Alan, mm-hmm. of the five guys you trust the most in the bubble, right? The NBA bubble. There's five guys
I
trust the most. Number one, who I trust the most, none other than LeBron James. I trust him like crazy, man. I trust him that he's going to do what he does in these.
And you've seen
playoffs.
It, right?
Like, and I know what it looks like.
Year, right? Yes. You can go back 10 years ago and you trusted him.
Yeah, he's number one. You know who I trust second?
Second on your list, I'm going to go with Kawhi.
Yep, you got it. Mm-hmm. Trust Kawhi. I trust him. I really do. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm going to get from him. You know who I trust third, though?
So third on your list of trust.
Yes.
Do I have to think too much here, or this should be an obvious one?
No, you may have to think a little bit. Just think a little bit.
All right. I'll go with Damian Lillard.
Oh, my! Are you reading my mind? Are you reading my mind? Are you reading my mind?
Let me tell you something.
Are you reading my mind?
I was very close not to go with Dame.
Are you reading my mind, Alan Sliwa? Yes, that's my third guy who I trust.
I'm assuming you're talking about clutch performers, guys who have done it before. So Dame's one of those players that,
by
the way, Dame can only do so much. Like, Dame needs an Anthony Davis on his team or one of these other players, but Dame has obviously delivered in the postseason.
But I trust him, though, right? Like, trust is a big thing. Mm-hmm. And then my last two, my four, my five. I think five is a tough one. I don't think you're going to get five. But who do you think number four is?
I'm going to throw this out there, and I don't think this is going to be on your list. This would be a big-time wild card, and maybe mm-hmm. this is your fifth. Kyle Lowry on that list?
No. Okay. I've seen Kyle have to relent to Kawhi last year, and I saw Kyle in years previous.
But I saw Lowry also last year in the finals. Didn't care about the moment. Many occasions where he just stepped up and took big shots. But
I didn't forget about before. I'll quickly do four and five. My number four
is Harden on there.
No Harden's on there. Mm-hmm. You know who my number four guy is? It's Russell Westbrook. I trust him in these playoffs. I really do. I just don't. I think I trust him more because he's going to give James Harden more. I know the energy that I'm going to get.
And he's going to give everything. Like,
he's going to give everything. He's going to leave it all on the court. You know what I mean? Like, I trust him. I really do. And guess who my fifth is? This is like the wild card of wild cards. But he's my fifth when it comes to these playoffs. No, it is not Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. My fifth.
By the way,
guy.
I'm with you on Giannis. This has got to be something that. This has got to be something Giannis earns. Like, he hasn't earned that yet.
He hasn't earned it yet. Last year we saw it. He hasn't earned it.
Trust
the fifth guy I trust, and you are just gonna be like,
I'll throw out a couple names.
Go ahead, because I know for sure you won't do it. But you won't know it. But when I say the name,
so I'm assuming it's not Chris Paul.
We know he close. He's close. But when you hear the name, you're gonna be like, ah, oh, okay, all right, I understand. It's not gonna be like Jimmy.
It's not gonna be Jimmy Butler. It's not gonna close. Be Paul George.
These are all of my honorable mentions.
Who is it?
Andre Iguodala.
No, I trust Iguodala.
I definitely trust Iguodala. And the thing is, it goes back to what AD said, Anthony Davis, about playoff AD.
Mm-hmm.
Look, no offense to those other guys. I love CP3. You know, you mentioned Harden. Who else did you
mention? They've choked in the postseason. There's no other way to put it.
Look, before Andre Iguodala, mm-hmm. who was a Finals MVP, by the way, mm-hmm. going against and guarding LeBron James, not necessarily, you know, keeping him in check, but definitely slowing him down to a point where he didn't get 50 every night. But he got Finals MVP for his job that he did on LeBron James. And I trust him because I see there's only one bad moment, I think, where we can say that Andre Iguodala had in the playoff runs or the finals runs, and that was because LeBron James swatted his shot off the backboard mm-hmm. to win a championship with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But he's a guy that when I look at everyone in these playoffs, you need an Iguodala on your team. Like, that's a trust factor that get him the basketball, not in the final seconds, but getting him the ball in a crucial moment where the right pass is to him, he knocks those shots down. I'm not saying he's a playmaker. I'm not saying that he's going to go out and give you 30 points a game. But what I'm saying is that
he was clutch. Derek Fisher was clutch.
Yes.
Robert Horry was clutch.
Mm-hmm. And those are guys who you trust, right? Mm-hmm. You trust Horry. You trust Fisher. You trust guys in the moment. And he is my fifth guy on this list. Kind of a little wild card there. And probably nobody really would think about that. But he's the guy who I would trust. I would trust him more so than Jimmy Butler. Jimmy's going to give me all that he's got, though. I would love to have Jimmy. I'd love to have both of them on my team. But I'm just making up a list of five guys who I trust the most in the bubble right now as we get ready for this final eight and in the postseason.
All right, we got our final thoughts coming up next. And one thing that we didn't get a chance to talk about this a little bit earlier, Kirk, so let's bring it up coming up in this final segment. Rams update ticket holder plan for 2020 season, plus Sean McVay looks like he's changing his approach a little bit. For this upcoming season. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN. All right, good game here in Los Angeles. Dodgers and Angels. Brian Goodwin just hit a solo home run. That's back-to-back home runs. Pujols just hit one before that. So Angels trying to get back in the game. Dodgers officially will start on Thursday. They'll take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, Kirk, did you see this Rams update, their ticket holder plan for the 2020 season? Did you get a chance to see this at all?
Yes, I did. It was the news I did not want to hear, but because I know it's going to be painful for Los Angeles fans who have waited the 4 years for SoFi to get built and hopefully get a chance
painful
to watch
the Rams
again.
And Kroenke, too.
Oh, man, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot. But the news, you can read it, Alan.
So basically, and you got to expect this is going to be obviously consistent throughout the NFL. SoFi Stadium will be at limited or no capacity in the 2020 and in 2020. And season tickets will not be possible for the 2020 season. Season tickets will be deferred to the 2020 season. So according to the letter, basically all season ticket payments will be halted. And I think this isn't a surprise. But like you were mentioning, and we've got a chance to see some unbelievable footage of what SoFi Stadium looks like, what it looks like inside. But Kirk, it's disappointing news. The one thing I will say is this kind of the position that football's in. And just like it is for basketball and just like it is for Major League Baseball, do you and I want to go down to a Dodger game, get a chance to kick back, have a beer, have a hot dog, have some peanuts? Of course we do. Mm-hmm. But if the only option we have this year is to sit on the couch, watch games on TV or listen to them on radio, and this is obviously the same thing for Lakers and Clippers and everything else, we'll take it. I don't think it's going to be any different for the NFL.
Yeah, I don't – yeah, it's going to be difficult, right, because now you have certain teams are going to have limited capacity. And then Governor Murphy of New Jersey said that he's not going to allow any fans at all for the Giants and the Jets, who share a stadium similar to what the Rams and Chargers will do here in Los Angeles. He won't allow any fans into the stadium.
It won't be unified, by the way. It won't be unified. The league won't say, no, everybody's doing the same thing. You don't think so, Kirk?
No, because I think in different parts of the country,
sure,
local municipality is different, right? You get what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
Some parts of the country, you don't even have to worry about wearing a mask, right? All restaurants are open. Gyms and salons are open. Like, different parts of the country have different mandates. But in many of the hot spots, which we're currently in Los Angeles, it's going to be different. California in general is going to be different. Same with the Florida and the Texas, teams. So I understand it. Do I like it? No. But we talked about it before. The Baltimore Ravens have 71,000 fans, that seating capacity, but yet they've said that they're only going to be able to take in 14,000. That's what Mark Davis, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, has been toying with, saying, I just can't. People says, oh, well, yeah, we're just only going to have 14,000, or we're just going to have 25%. But the question is, which 25% are going to be able to go? Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like, who are the lucky fans that get chosen to say, oh, yeah, you get to go to the game? Or how are you selecting that? Is it a raffle? Is it a lottery? Like, what happens? And now you're, for so many people who wanted to go to SoFi, they've been talking about this. I know I couldn't wait to be a part of it and walk around and just see the beauty and of what I've been watching every time I pass the 405 near the airport, and you look over and you see, oh, wow, that thing is humongous. And yet that won't be possible for fans to see what's been built over the last 4 years, having watched the Rams play in the iconic L.A. Coliseum. But finally, this was the venue that Southern California has waited pretty much their entire lives for. Think about this. This was the only football-only stadium in Southern California's history. This was the first one ever in the history. And yet, it will not be open to the fans to start the season.
Yeah, it won't be happening in 2020. Some other news that we talked about a little bit earlier on the NFL front, Kirk was kind of breaking it down for us. But from a testing perspective, the NFL is going to spend $75 million, according to the Sports Business Daily. Obviously, there is no league without testing, so that's going to be everything. Players will be tested daily for COVID-19 for at least the first 2 weeks of training camp. They may move that to every other day if positive tests fall below 5%. So, obviously, that's big, Kirk. And then the other big part was preseason not happening this year.
No preseason. It's just going to be just straight training camps. And we'll see you September 10th for Kansas City versus Houston. So, look, the NFL has come together. I hope that things get better. Don't be alarmed for all the test positives that you'll see. It will get better, and I think we will have football in the future, football in the fall this year.
All right, Kirk, my man, let's do this again tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Om Young Masuk coming up tomorrow as well. Thank you to Jesse. Thank you to Curtis for helping out with the show. Elea, as always, greatly appreciate you being a part of the show.